Have you ever wondered what doctors did before modern medicine? Thomas Morris's collection of bizarre medical cases from the 1600s to 1900s offers a window into a world both horrifying and fascinating. These aren't just strange tales, they're snapshots of medical evolution that reveal how far we've come while highlighting the remarkable resilience of the human body. From exploding teeth to swallowed cutlery, these cases have become favorites among medical professionals who keep this book on office shelves as a reminder of medicine's strange journey. What makes these stories so compelling isn't just their shock value, but how they illuminate the development of medical understanding through cases that defy belief while remaining absolutely true. The human capacity for getting objects stuck in unfortunate places seems immune to progress. In 1724, a constipated ship carpenter's apprentice inserted a fork into his rectum that slipped up so far that he could not recover it again. He lived with it until fork prongs began protruding through his buttock months later. Even more ill-advised was John Cummings, an American sailor who swallowed knives for entertainment. After watching a performer pretend to swallow clasp knives, the drunken 23-year-old boasted he could do the same. His first consumption of four knives went surprisingly well. Emboldened, he later swallowed 14 more over 2 days. A final performance of another 14 proved fatal. His autopsy revealed an abdomen stained rusty with blades piercing his colon. The book presents equally bewildering cases. A businessman wearing a golden padlock on his foreskin for years, installed by a jealous mistress, an apprentice with his penis stuck in a candlestick socket, and a 10-year-old who shot himself with a makeshift gun, each demonstrating both the body's resilience and our capacity for self-inflicted trouble. Diagnosing rare conditions has always challenged physicians. In 1637, physician Edward May's autopsy on a young aristocrat revealed what appeared to be a serpent-like creature in his heart. Likely just an unusually shaped blood clot, though witnesses became convinced it was genuine. Elizabeth Orvin developed a remarkable sleeping disorder in 1738, sleeping 17 hours daily for 10 years, completely unresponsive during these episodes. She didn't react when doctors thrust pins through her skin, burned her cheek, or briefly set fire to spirit-soaked linen in her nostril. Local doctors attempted brutal treatments, whipping her and exposing her to bees, all without success. Perhaps most intriguing is the mystery of exploding teeth. In 1859, a Pennsylvania dentist reported cases where patients' teeth suddenly burst with a sharp crack like a pistol shot. One woman's molar exploded with such force it well-nigh knocked her over and left her temporarily deaf. Various theories emerged, from free caloric buildup to gases from decay, but like the Mary Celeste or Jack the Ripper, the mystery remains unsolved. Throughout medical history, doctors prescribed remedies that now seem barbaric or absurd. When the Earl of Kent collapsed in 1702, his treatment included bloodletting from both arms, snuff in his nostrils, toxic antimonial wine, blistering plasters on his shaved head, and laxatives. One doctor even suggested applying a frying pan made red hot to his head. After these failed, they transported the likely deceased Earl home, blew tobacco smoke up his anus, a standard resuscitation technique of the era, and applied freshly killed sheep's bowels to his stomach. This tobacco smoke enema was widely endorsed for drowning resuscitation throughout 18th century Europe, with equipment installed in public places. The method, believed to have originated with Native American tribes, involved blowing smoke into both the mouth and rectum, a practice called Dutch fumigation. Another bizarre treatment was the pigeon's rump cure for childhood seizures, which involved pressing a pigeon's rump against the child's anus, supposedly causing the animal to die while stopping the convulsion. The 19th century briefly embraced mercury cigarettes, arsenical cigarettes made from toxic arsenous acid, and balsamic cigarettes, all claimed to cure conditions from voice loss to tuberculosis. Before anesthetics and antisepsis in the mid-19th century, operations were mainly limited to amputations and bladder stone removals, yet some surgeons attempted ambitious procedures on fully conscious patients. On July 9, 1635, surgeons removed a knife from Andrew Grunbeid's stomach. After binding him to a table, they cut through his abdomen, secured his slipping stomach with a curved needle, and extracted the knife through a small incision. The conscious patient confirmed it was his knife. After stitching the wound, he recovered rapidly, consuming chicken broth the next day, a remarkable outcome centuries before modern understanding of infection. Even more extraordinary was Colonel Martin's self-treatment for bladder stones. He injected warm water into his bladder to push stones toward the neck where he could reach them with a homemade file. Despite incidents including a urethral spasm that trapped his file, Martin successfully broke the stone into fragments that he passed naturally, anticipating formal surgical techniques by 40 years. Pre-anesthetic patients showed astonishing stoicism. One patient with frostbitten feet underwent double leg amputation while sitting upright, holding his own thigh and watching without sound, merely commenting, "By gam, it is sharp," about the saw. Medical history reveals extraordinary human resilience. Robert Fielding lived 30 years with a musket ball that traveled through his skull before being extracted from his throat, suffering minimal impairment. In 1737, Samuel Wood's arm was torn off by machinery, yet he felt only tingling and walked nearly 100 yards before collapsing. Treated with powdered sugar to stop bleeding, he recovered completely within 2 months. A Hessian grenadier in 1776 survived grape shot entering his skull at one eye and exiting behind the opposite ear while remaining conscious. His wounds healed within 10 weeks. Most remarkably, in 1881, a Frenchman hammered a 10-centimeter dagger into his skull in a suicide attempt. Feeling nothing and retaining all cognitive functions, he required mechanical pincers for removal. Despite deep brain penetration, he left the hospital just 8 days later without complications. These cases reveal medical beliefs across eras. Despite superstitions, historical practitioners often showed remarkable sophistication, like the successful stomach knife removal in 1635 without anesthesia or antisepsis. Colonel Martin's self-performed lithotripsy similarly anticipated formal surgical techniques by decades. Historical practitioners were as intelligent and determined as modern doctors, their tenacity with limited tools leading through many dead ends before finding effective treatments. As chloroform pioneer James Young Simpson noted in 1851, future generations would likely view our current practices with similar wonderment. This raises questions about which current medical practices might seem barbaric to future generations. Will chemotherapy be viewed as we now view bloodletting? Will some surgical techniques appear as crude as unanesthetized amputations? Medicine's history isn't a simple march of progress, but a complex journey of discovery, error, and brilliance. These stories remind us that beneath white coats and sterile instruments, medicine has always been fundamentally human, driven by curiosity, compassion, and the desire to alleviate suffering across centuries.